forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
We'll see mostly cloudy skies here for this afternoon with a chance for a few spotty showers. Northeast winds around 5 to 10 miles per hour, and we'll see a high in the lower 50s. Later on this evening, we'll see partial clearing at times with a slight chance for some scattered showers early on. Winds will turn northwesterly around 5 to 10 miles per hour, and we'll see a low near 35. Saturday, partial sunshine, high near 55. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vucevski.
And right now, across central Wisconsin, cloudy skies, and we're getting ready for more rain. We're going to have off and on showers all day today, so get ready for it. It's 43 in Wausau, 43 in Stevens Point, 44 in Marshfield, and 44 here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Riverview Hospital in Wisconsin Rapids. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thank you, Jerry, and it's time once again for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. You can reach your local investment professionals at 715-422-0700, 422-0700. And with that, we welcome Pete Bry, and the topic today, emotions and the market. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm sure you're looking forward to tomorrow and the battle for Paul Bunyan's axe in Madison against Minnesota.
Yep, always, not only in football, but that's always in basketball also, that for some reason the people of Minnesota and the people of Wisconsin have a pretty good rivalry going.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about how fear and greed, as you like to put it, can affect people's decisions about investments, and sometimes, counterintuitively, they do things that probably isn't in their best interest.
Yeah, I would say that the whole emotion, and I think one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this today is kind of some of the things going on in the current market, but, you know, the basic tenets is buy low and sell high.
Right.
And, you know, the emotional response to looking on your computer or looking at your statement or looking on watching TV and you see valuations decreasing, you know, the thing, oh my God, I'm losing money, you know, and no one likes to lose money. No one wants to be a loser or anything like that. And what happens is that more times than not, the average guy sells, and then he waits and waits and waits, and the market goes up and up and up and up, and then they finally get enough confidence. But, you know, you see that the market has made a X percent move, and you're getting in on the and late. So, you know, it's after having done this for 31 years, you know, the two of the greatest investment managers probably in my career, John Templeton, and Warren Buffett. And in essence, if you ever read any of their philosophies about the market, is that where significant money tends to be made is when there's so-called blood in the streets. And, you know, if you think about that and go back and when your anxiety was at the highest, where you just, oh my God, I can't look at my statement, you know, whatever your barometer of feeling the pain is, you know, if at that point you were buying rather than lamenting or selling, you know, you would have done quite well over time, because if you take and look at almost any stock chart that goes back 100-some years, it starts in the bottom left-hand corner and ends up in the upper right-hand corner. And
okay.
Again, in any instance, in period of time, you know, you had to basically shut your eyes or whatever, or buy, knowing that, you know, in the long term. But anyway, so, the, you know, that's the basic premise. We, and intellectually, I think all investors know that, but it's very interesting in watching, after 31 years of doing this with clients, their reaction to these phenomena.
Okay. One of the things here that you pointed out, the last 5 years, money out of stock funds into income funds, despite low interest rates for those funds.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of the things I wanted to really speak on today, because I had, you know, the great fortune, as it turns out, to start in this career in August of 1981.
Okay.
And for those of us that are old enough,
yes.
right? Quite interesting times.
Right.
And at that point, the Dow Jones, which today is 13,000 plus, was 750.
Okay.
Right? And one of the reasons it was 750 was simply because the prime rate in that era got as high as, I think, 19%. you could buy CDs. I remember the first CD I bought for anyone back in that era was 14% for like a 3 or 4 year CD. The 30-year treasury was 15 1/8 at its peak. And you go right on down the line. Tax-free bonds were double digits. And never, ever in the history of the interest rates been that particularly high.
Right.
And in that era, it was literally impossible to get a vast majority of your clients to extend maturities beyond 1 or 2 years. Oh my God, rates are going higher, and you know, and stuff. So there was not a lot of money sitting in or going into bonds. All right. In fact, that was the era when money markets came into play, and,
right,
and the 0.75% that the banks were so proudly giving you on your bank savings account gave way to a money market feature, so that people could get double digits sitting in the money market, nothing at risk. And, you know, and so there wasn't, well, why would I do that? I'm getting almost the same rate, and I can get at it tomorrow, and et cetera, et cetera. So the point here is, at a time that when we look backwards, any of those rates now, people would take all the money they could find and put in any of those.
Right.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, they didn't. They were very hesitant and things like that. So, you know, it was an interesting phenomena there, and very frustrating, because if you were a finance history buff, you saw that, you know, this isn't going to be forever, because our economy couldn't sustain at those high levels.
Right. Right.
Much of which is going on in Spain and Greece, you know, when things went amok there, their interest rates continued to go up. Interesting enough, they're talking about Spain not being able to sustain like a 7% rate in their government bonds. Well, we were back in the 80s. We were twice that rate and things. And so to tie that together, and we go back to the comment that you made, interest rates have never been this low across the board. You go from virtually, you get nothing between 0 or 1 day maturity and 5 year government paper. In the government market, you basically maybe getting 0.5%, which is nothing, all right?
Right.
The 10-year treasury, you know, give or take, is probably about 1.7 today, 1.65, 1.7. 30-year treasury is 3%, give or take. And we're seeing a lot of the smart money, i.e. corporations, the CFOs of corporations, just going to the markets and getting as much cheap money as they can out at 30 years. I mean, and that's one of the reasons corporations are in such good shape on their balance sheets, because they're smart enough to go out and lock in these rates forever and, you know, for 30 years. Actually, there's been the reappearance of 100-year bonds, which was an early phenomena and things. So we're seeing the smart money go and extend these maturities. But what you were referencing with the bond inflows are at record highs. It's just, it doesn't make any sense whenever. I mean, for the week, a couple weeks ago, as you referenced, people took $11 billion out of the equity market, and they basically put almost $11 billion into the bond market. And so
that doesn't make sense.
Well, it makes no sense whatever. And I guess we bring this up only because it kind of points out that the crowd is going into bonds. And usually not being where the crowd is gives you outsized returns. And you know, Woody Hayes used to say, when you pass the football, there's only one good result. You know, you can complete the pass.
Right.
Otherwise, it's incomplete or it's intercepted.
Right.
And I bring that up in that in looking at the bond market, especially extending maturities at this point, there's only one good thing that can happen, and that is get your money back at the end of the term. All right? Because if you take a 10-year treasury, really? I mean, you're really so upset, so nervous, so scared, fearful, all right, going to our theme here, that you're willing to settle for 1.7. That's the very best you can do, all right?
Yeah.
And the downside is, you know, if you've looked at the inflation numbers that came out in the last week, and or you've gone to the grocery store or paid your bills, you know, inflation is a significant number in comparison to where it's been for a while.
Right.
And so, you know, if you take and look at the inflation rate, you're losing purchasing power being in bonds, all right? And if rates go higher, you're going to have an opportunity cost. So, like, in 2 or 3 years, or maybe sooner, who knows, rates will go higher, because where we were talking about the smart money, the CFOs, the corporate heads, going out and extending their maturities and pushing things out to lock in these low rates, our government's not quite doing that, all right? And, you know, so at a time where they should be doing that.
Some municipal governments are, some of your local.
Yeah, you're right.
Because the city of Wisconsin Rapids just did this past week.
And well, what a smart move. Have you read that article?
Yeah.
Obviously, they save money doing it, and obviously that money then can go to something else. I guess I'm referencing
the federal,
our United States government.
Right, yeah.
And what they've done is forced a lot of issues into the 5 years and less. So on the balance sheet or income statement, it looks like our interest expense isn't going up, because in conjunction with the Federal Reserve buying all the issues and keeping those rates down, well over half of our deficit is being financed at 0%. Now, with election coming up and with inflation, and with obviously a very, I think you could make a good case that the fiscal cliff thing may get kicked down the road. You know, interest rates could go easily higher, and let's just say they go up 2%. Now, 2%, those are still historically low rates.
Right.
But as all that short-term paper comes due, and all those have to be reissued at 2% higher, and then you put like $9 trillion on 2%, you know, that's $180 billion, and we're fighting to figure out where we're going to allocate money. So what you're seeing is the herd is making some interesting decisions here, which will ultimately end up not being good.
When we come back, we'll talk more about this and how fear can drive things, how it's driving our market today. You're listening to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Their local number is 715-422-0700, 422-0700. Back with more right after this.
The drug business in Vegas is a sure bet.
My best week was 30,000 profit.
In Anchorage, it's booming. Honolulu, record highs.
They can move a million in a month.
When it comes to drugs, if business is up, someone is down.
It's the worst feeling in the world.
Sunday on the National Geographic Channel, Drugs Inc. gives you inside access to every fix and every angle.
These guys will strap on 4 pounds of drugs and board the plane.
Drugs Inc. Sunday at 9 on National Geographic.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearthbreads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more. Then save the UPC code for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Country Hearth and Village Hearthbreads, good for your family and your school. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
We'll see mostly cloudy skies here for this afternoon with a chance for a few spotty showers. Northeast winds around 5 to 10 miles per hour, and we'll see a high in the lower 50s. Later on this evening, we'll see partial clearing at times with a slight chance for some scattered showers early on. Winds will turn northwesterly around 5 to 10 miles per hour, and we'll see a low near 35. Saturday, partial sunshine, high near 55. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki.
And come Sunday, mostly sunny and a gorgeous 66. Right now, cloudy and 45 at AM 1320. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Again, their number is 715-422-0700. We're talking about fear and greed in the market, and the market doubles, and people continue to accept lower returns because of the fear. You gave me some background material, and some people, fearful investors, stay away, and this one gentleman's like, I'm never going back in. You know, it's just...
Yeah, it is interesting, and that has been a case for a long time. I mean, when if you go back and read some of the history, after the Depression... really, the mom and pa in the Main Street didn't really start coming back into the market till the 60s. Then the 60s had a great run, and from 1968 to 1982, the Dow hit a 1,000 for the first time in 1968.
Okay.
The next time it hit 1,000 was 1982. So we've had these long pockets of non-performance, and you know, everybody, well, there's no, can't make money, you can't do this. My grandfather lost his fortune, or you know, everybody's got a tale and things.
Right.
And what from 1982 to 1999. The S&P, the average of the S&P 500 over that time span was 18% plus a year.
Wow.
And so it got to a crazy stage in 98 and 99 because everybody was making money left hand over fist, much like, you know, everybody became house flippers in the middle of the 2000s, and that became disastrous. And then we had basically a three-year bear market from 2000 to about October of 2002. It was not a very fruitful place to be. And just to give you some perspective, the NASDAQ, which is the over-the-counter stocks, the small companies for the most part, obviously there's exceptions there, but peaked out at over 5,000, all right?
Right.
This year, it got over 3,000, and we're now talking about 12 years later. So, you know, it ran up. So people from 2000 to 2002... didn't necessarily do very well, all right? And then the market came, and we had a pretty good, it peaked in 2007, and then we had our generation's version of the financial collapse of 1929 in 2008. And rest assured, there wasn't anyone who had anything to do with the market that was not very scared and wasn't sure, because when you were thinking and you saw... we talked a little earlier about money markets and how there's safety in that. And when people lost money in money markets and you were worried about making good decisions by not being in the market and still had a chance to lose money, those were pretty scary times. Well, we bought them in March of 2009, and then we had the famous flash crash where we went down 1,000 points in a day, all right? Mm-hmm. Last year we had the European thing where we went down 20%. So I think the cumulative effect of this last decade has been really given people stock market fatigue, the emotional roller coaster up and down, and just really has worn them out. When you step back, in an interesting article I read recently, but on a one-year, five-year, and 10-year basis, stocks have outperformed bonds. All right?
Okay.
In the last 10 years, stocks, the stock market as defined by the S&P has been up 9 of those 10 years. And so with all that evidence, it continues to be amazing what's going on. But the fear factor, and it continues today, is that, well, I don't want to be in anything that isn't guaranteed. I don't want to, and stuff like that. Well,
they call it the Wall Street casino or and everything.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think the unfortunate bashing of Wall Street by every politician that's trying to get elected really does a disservice for the entire country, because whether you like or approve of some of the decisions that have been made on Wall Street, obviously they've made some decisions, and you know, fear and greed run pretty much very prevalent out there. And when they were making lots of money, they were disregarded some of the risk and put a lot of things in jeopardy. But Wall Street is the engine that drives the country, all right? If you've been involved in any company or organization, isn't the question always is, well, where's the money coming from? How are we going to get the money? Well, that's the capacity that Wall Street provides. You know, you can go to the capital markets and raise money and then take that money and start a business, continue a business, expand your business. And the harder... You know, there's a fine line. I think there's some regulation that has to be put in place. But by bashing them and continuing to fearmonger, it feeds into, you know, the average citizen's fear of the market. Because if you're hearing on the TV, oh, the Wall Street is bad, it fixed some of the things you just reiterated, then why do I want it? Because, you know, our country isn't necessarily been astute enough to make everyone take finance as a core course when you're going through school. We take art. We take history. We take music. We take lots of things that I think is fine. It gives you that background and gives you, do you have an affinity for it or not? A lot of people take up those particular disciplines. A lot of people don't. Almost everyone has to do something in finance, if not daily, weekly, monthly.
Right.
And the more you know about it, probably the better decisions you make.
How are we going to break this? How historically has it been broken? Where people start realizing I'm better off getting involved in the market than shunning it.
Well, historically, what tends to happen, and then we alluded to it a little earlier in the show, is that at some point here, we're going to have an election. We're going to know who's who, where's where in terms of the Senate and the House and the presidency. We're going to probably, if we have some sanity, we're going to have some rules. You know, here's what the tax code's going to be, and here's what health care provisions are going to be, and here's the estate tax, and you're going to get some rules. Whether you like them or not is a different conversation. But as you like them, I think, or as they're implemented, it creates a little more certainty.
Right.
And sooner or later, I believe people are going to look in the mirror and say, I got to get more than 0%. I got to get more than 1%. You know, the inflation's going up. My food bill's up. My gas bill's up. My utility bill's up. My health care bill. You know, I need to look. And we've seen this year that rise in the market. So as we get more certainty, I think we're going to see a big flow of money into the market because, you know, with the rules in place and need to generate some more money, essentially, you're looking at a situation where that'll come back. And one of the things is if we get a solid economy, I mean, investors, since the low in March of 2009, have yanked out $138 billion from mutual funds and exchange-traded funds that are stock-related, and they've put in that same period of time over $1 trillion into the bond funds. Well, if you think about it, as that confidence comes in, that money getting very little coming back into the stock market could have a very explosive upside to it. And things. So I think the what we'll see is as people, the market continues to move forward, the rules getting set in place, we'll see money coming back into the market.
And then you're looking at, they're talking about it as a result of the drought and the harvest of this year, we're looking at, you know, interesting situation with commodity prices and food inflation next year. So you're going to have another incentive for people. Hey, I need to make some money.
Well, exactly. But not only, you know, people should be very aware of not only next year, but here's the equation, all right? The projection over the next 20 years is our population of the world goes from 7 billion to 9 billion.
Okay.
All right. Each year, it's been shown historically that we lose 1% of our arable land.
Okay.
We're not making more land. We don't know how to make more land. And so we've got 2 billion people that have to eat on less arable land. Food prices are will be trending up for a while. And things. And so, but in the short term, you're absolutely right. I mean, they're killing cows because they can't feed them, so that means meat prices are going up. We insist on doing corn ethanol, so their grain is 4 bushels out of every 10 and go into ethanol, which no one likes. It's not really as green as people, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, but yeah, and, you know, health care kicks in, and regardless of what you say, you know, it's going to affect you. It's going to cost you more if they don't change anything. Your dividends, there's going to be a 3.8% tax on your dividends that go to health care. Mm-hmm. That's a cost. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that'll kick in.
Which is why you need to talk with the pros at Buena Vista Investment Management here in Wisconsin Rapids. Their number is 715-422-0700. 422-0700. Well, we're heading toward the stretch and the end of the presidential campaign. It will be interesting, Pete, to see how the market reacts on the day after Election Day.
Yep, absolutely. It'll be a situation where, obviously, you know, it'll be a one, you know, how it reacts may not necessarily reflect where it's going, because I personally think the election's one thing, but I think the real fireworks and the real will be after the election to see how a lame duck Congress handles some very important issues.
Okay. Well, as always, I appreciate your homework and your expertise and sharing it with our listeners. And go Bucky tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We want to keep that Paul Bunyan axe. I think we've had it for a long time.
We have. It's kind of got ownership in Madison. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for this edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Coming up next, CBS News.